Praise God. Thank you for all for coming. We continue our Bible study using our book, Financial Prosperity, Breaking the Back of Poverty. Glory be to God. Amen. So today, the topic is how to avoid shipwreck. A wreck means something that has been badly damaged or destroyed. So we are studying this to make sure that money, prosperity, okay, doesn't destroy our lives. Okay? It is the simple things, you know, that are most important. So the first one is, number one, we're going to see that we should always be content. Number two, we should always be a blessing. Number three, we should always remember that money is not the most important thing. Okay? Those are three things, will keep our lives, in the Lord. They will ensure that our lives are not destroyed in any way. Because of money or the love of it. Glory be to God. All right? So, let's address the first point. Okay? How to avoid shipwreck. Number one, always be content. Glory be to God. Always be what? Content with what you have. Let's open our book, since it is the one that we're using to study this. Page 124. Page 124. Paragraph 3. Okay, paragraph 3. Paragraph 3 says, we as Christians should heed the warning that the love of money is a root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. All right? Okay? Now, what is contentment? Does anyone know what contentment is? Okay, since there's no one who's volunteering, I can give you a definition by Joyce Meyer. I was listening to her on TV last night, and she was talking about contentment, and she defined contentment as being satisfied with where you are while you are on the road, okay? While on the way to where you're going. Okay? Contentment means, according to Joyce Meyer, and I believe she's right, it means being satisfied with where you are while on the way to where you are going. Okay? Contentment doesn't mean that you don't want more things. Okay? Contentment doesn't mean that you don't want increase. Okay? It means that you're satisfied with what you have now. Okay? While you are on the journey to increase. So that if increase doesn't come, if more things don't come, you're still satisfied. Hallelujah. We all know God is a God of increase. God is a God of harvest. God is a God of more. He wants to give us more. Okay? But before those things, before the more comes, before the increase comes, we should be satisfied with where we are, with what we have, okay, at this point. Alright? So contentment is being satisfied with where you are while on the way to where you're going. Glory be to God. Be content. Okay? Have contentment within you. If you're content, okay, you will never be destroyed by money or the love of money. Glory be to God. Okay? If you're content with what you have, you won't fall for the lie, okay, for the temptation to worship, okay, the devil, okay, in order to get more. You'll be like, I'm fine now until God gives me the more. You understand? Okay? 1 Timothy chapter 6. Okay? 1 Timothy chapter 6 from verse 6 to 10. It says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Okay, the man has no house. Okay, the man has no car, horse or donkey in those days. And he's saying, if we just have food and clothing, we are content. We are satisfied. Verse 9. But those who desire to be rich. Who are those who desire to be rich? Those who are not content. Everything has to be read in context. Okay? Wanting more money. Okay? Wanting increase of money is not evil. Do you understand? It's not evil. God is a God of increase. Okay? So, the desiring to be rich here must be understood in context of the preceding verse. Okay? These guys who desire to be rich, who fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in perdition and destruction, are those, okay, who are not content. Glory be to God. Wanting a better car is not evil. Desiring to be rich is not evil. Do you understand? Desiring more money is not evil. Okay? It is only evil if you're not content with what you have now. That means that desire is wrong. You see what that means? We talked about this last week. Okay? I used to hate this scripture. I really wanted to be rich. I used to tell God, I want you to give me a lot of money. You know, I told him, I want to be rich. Okay? So that I can have a lot of money to what? We give away. Okay? Then I would read this scripture. I used to hate this scripture. When you say, but those who desire to be rich, and that was me, it says, they fall into temptation. But in my heart, I was like, but God, I desire to be rich. You know, like, by this verse, you made Abraham rich. You made Isaac rich. You made Jacob rich. Job was rich. And Solomon was rich. David was rich. Okay? Then until, okay, God opened my eyes and said, no. You're fine. This scripture is not referring to you. Okay? It is referring to those who are not content. All right? Okay? So he says, but those who desire to be rich, those who are not content with what they have, fall into temptation. Okay? Jesus didn't fall into the temptation to worship the devil so that he can be given all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He was content. He was like, no, I'm the Son of God. Do you understand? I don't need to worship you to have all these things. I'm going to get them anyway. Okay? Very soon I'm going to go on the cross, okay? Pay the price, and get back that which Adam gave you. I don't have to worship you.
You understand? Okay, he was content, with who he was and what he had. Okay? Glory be to God. Okay? For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Okay? So who are the people who love money? It is those who desire to be rich. Okay? Who are those who desire to be rich in this context? Those who are not content. Glory be to God. You see, Scripture is interpreting Scripture. Okay? So if you desire to be rich, okay, but you're content with what you have now, before, the billions will come in, okay, and you desire to be rich for the right reasons, this doesn't apply to you. Glory be to God. Amen? All right? Okay? So for the love of money, okay, the desire to be rich for those who are not content with what they have is a root of all kinds of evil. Okay? Such people who are not content with what they have, they just want to have more to accumulate. Okay? It's going to make them to do evil things to get that money. They are going to kill. They are going to lie. Okay? They are going to sleep around. They are going to hit people on the head. They are going to forge signatures. You understand? Okay? And the worst bit is they are going to depart from the faith. Okay? Because, when you are in the Lord, there's so many, you can't steal, so there's so many hindrances, okay? There's so many things which are hindering you from getting the money that you want. Do you understand? So in order to throw away all these hindrances, you just leave the faith. You walk out of the boundary of those, protecting hindrances, if I should say. Okay? It's like this whole thing of, now like in the Western world, Europe, the States, okay? The whole reason why people have chucked God, is because of those hindrances. Okay? You can't do this because God is like, it is sin. Okay? You can't do this because God is seeing you. Okay? So in order to, to have room to do what you want to do, you just say, there's no God. Do you understand? There's no God. So that means there's no one who's watching you. That means no one is going to punish you. Okay? That means there's no sin. Because what is sin? Okay? Sin is a criteria that was done by, God. So, just say there's no God. So, that means there's no sin. My actions have no repercussions, evil. I won't be, punished. So, this is what happens to people who are not content, okay? And those people, it means they desire money, okay? That means that those people, there's the love of what? Money, okay? It leads them, it is the root of all kinds of evil. Okay? So they can get the money. You understand? Glory be to God. So, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith. They have chucked God. Because God avale mesa. It reminds me of some guy, I'm sure you have heard of those stories of like in Buganda, a guy of a certain clan, meets a girl of the same clan, they fall in love, now the culture is such that you can't marry, a person of the same clan, Because apparently your sister and what? And brother. So you can see, Baba Lemesa, you are in love, you love this girl, you know the girl loves you. Baba Lemesa, what do you do? You just chuck the clan. You say, I've chucked for me these traditional things. You understand? You walk out of them and you do your thing. Okay? Okay, so this is what guys do. They want the money. Baba Lemesa, you just depart from the faith. Eh? Okay? You stray from the faith in your greediness. Okay? And you pierce yourself through with many sorrows. All right? Okay? For the sake of someone who has come in late, the topic today is avoiding shipwreck. Okay? A wreck is something, especially a vehicle or building, that has been badly damaged or destroyed. Okay? So we are seeing, we are learning how to ensure that our lives are not destroyed, damaged, or even, you know, to ensure that we're not eternally damned. We don't lose our salvation because of money. Glory be to God. The first thing we need to do is we should always be content. Okay? Godliness with contentment is great gain. The Bible says. All right? Hallelujah. I'm content right now, having a Bible study with how many people? How many are you? I'm content. No one is removing me from this contentment. Okay? Remember, Joyce Meyer said that contentment is being satisfied, okay, with where you are, okay, while on the way to where you're going. You're satisfied. It was a blessing to listen to her last night. Okay? So I'm satisfied. Glory be to God. I'm content with the number of people that you are in this, you know, Bible. While we are what? On the way of becoming the largest church in the city. I'm content. No one is. You can't remove me from this to start doing stupid things. Okay? You see, now, if I don't get content with, you know, the numbers now, okay, that's when now what? It leads me to all what? It is the root of what? All evil. Do you know the evil I'll start doing? I'll start manipulating people, okay, seducing them from their churches, or promising ridiculous things that will happen to them if they come to LAT. Do you understand? Okay? I'll be like, maybe guys think I'm broke. Maybe that's why they don't come to my church. They think, that pastor is broke. He didn't have a prosperity anointing. Okay, so do you know what I will do? I will steal money. I will do everything I can to get the money to make me look what? Prosperous, so that the people can come, since that's what they want. Do you understand? So contentment is a key thing. Never forget that. Glory be to God. Be content. Always be content. Amen. Philippians chapter 4. Okay. We're going to read a verse which again we rarely or we almost always never understand in context. Okay. But of course we use it rightly elsewhere. But we almost have never used it in context, okay? In the primary way in which it was supposed to be used, okay? So, Philippians chapter 4, from verse 10, it begins, you know, these Philippians have sent stuff to Paul, blessings, okay? Money, okay? Material things for his well-being, okay? So he tells them, from verse 10, he says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned, in whatever state I am, to be content. I have learned, in whatever state I am, to be content. Then he tells us the states. Okay? He says, I know how to be abased. Okay? Abased means being at the bottom. Okay? Base. You understand? Okay? I know how to be abased. Okay? Okay? How to lack, how to have nothing. And I know how to abound. Okay? I know all those things. And in whatever state I am, I'm content. I have learned how to be content. Okay? Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Glory be to God. What are all those things which he can do? Okay. See, I can do all things. What are all things in context? In context, it means all the states. Okay? If he's in the state of abasement, okay, he has learned to be content. Okay? But should he be abounding? Great. Okay? He can do all things. He can be in all states. Okay? He can be in all states. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Glory be to God. Okay? He told us, I've learned how to be content. And that's what it means when he says, I can do all things. I'm content when I have little. Okay? Okay? I'm grateful when I have much. Okay? When I'm abounding. But in the event that things are tight, okay, I can do even that one. I'm content even in that one. Glory be to God. And now that's what God wants for us. You see, that's the danger, like I always say, with comparing ourselves one with another. Your kawa with posho and beans. You understand? Then you look the other side and say, guy man with rice and chicken. All of a sudden, man. You know, what has happened? You just compared yourself one with another. And it has messed you up. Now, do you know what you're going to do? You're not content with the posho and beans. Okay? And it says, not being content is the same as desiring to be rich. It is the same as the love of money. Okay? Which is the root of all kinds of evil. So what are you going to do to get the rice and the chicken? Either you're going to kill that guy to get his rice and chicken, or you're going to steal his rice and chicken. You can leave him alive, but you steal from him. Or you're going to steal from others. Eh? Or you're going to go to the waitress, waiter, and tell her, yeah, even me, give me what? Rice and chicken. But you have no intentions of paying for it because you can't pay for it. So even as you're ordering, you know that you're lying. You know that the moment you finish, you're going to pull a rare one. Yeah? You're going to exit, you're going to run away without paying. Do you understand? The root of all kinds of, you just messed yourself up with what? Comparing yourself with someone else, and now you're going to do all evil to make sure that you also what? Get to that point. And the whole thing is, you lost contentment. Okay, so we shouldn't do that. Amen? So that is point number one, how to avoid shipwreck. always be content. Paul learned to be content in all states. Okay? He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Which things? Whether he's in lack or whether what? He's abounding. Glory be to God. Number two, what we can do, what we should do to avoid shipwreck, to ensure that our lives are not destroyed by prosperity, is always be a blessing. Always be a blessing. Make it your goal to be someone who blesses others. Hallelujah. Page 121 in our book. Page 121, paragraph 3. Page 121, paragraph 3. It is entitled, Blessed to be a Blessing. Okay, it says, first of all, never forget why God wants you to prosper. It is true that he giveth us richly all things to enjoy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. But more important than that is the truth that he wants us to do good, to be rich in good works, ready to distribute, and willing to share. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18. God blesses us so we might be a blessing to other people. Okay? That is a fundamental reason why you should want to prosper. Glory be to God. Amen? The scripture that we are going to read, okay, we have already read it in the book. Eh? Okay? 1 Timothy chapter 6, 17, 18. Eh? Okay? Maybe let's read it. Okay, Paul says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, okay, prideful, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. Glory be to God. Okay? It says, you should be ready to give. Okay? That means that you have made up your mind to always be a blessing. You're ready. You don't have to plan. You're ready. You're always ready to give. Okay? You are a giver. Eh? You're ready for God to create an opportunity for you to give. You understand? Eh? Someone then have to, you know, you're ready to give. Okay? And if you're in that state, if you have a mindset like that, ready to give, it means money can't have a hold of you. Yeah, because you're ready to give it away anyway. Glory be to God. If you're ready to give, okay, if you're always ready to be a blessing, okay, that means you're always ready to part with what you have. Eh? Okay, that means that you cannot steal. Because if you stole, you give it away anyway. You understand? Eh? So now, steal for what? You understand? Eh? Okay? Ready to give. Okay? I believe, and I guess I'm right, eh? I don't think someone who is a genuine giver, okay, can steal. Hmm? Because it's like, whatever I have, I can give it out anytime. Do you understand? So steal for what? Do you understand? Because in a sense, you know, anything can go away. I can give, you know. So steal for what? Eh? And in a sense, you are a giver, that means that you love people, eh? It means you want people to have, eh? Okay? To the extent that they can even have what you have. Eh? You can give them what you have so that they can have it. That means, now, if you are interested in people having, that means that you cannot be interested in taking away from them. Glory be to God. This is not rocket science. You know. Now, just know, just be sure that someone who's not ready to give, someone who's not a giver, those same people are thieves. You just don't know it. Yeah? It just hasn't been revealed to you. But be sure, those people somehow, somewhere, they're stealing. Because you can't be interested in giving to people. You can't be interested in people having things. And at the same time, you're stealing those things from them. It just didn't add up. So just know it. People are not givers. They might not break into a house. They might not rob the bank. Okay? But probably they will do things which at the end of the day are really stealing. Probably they won't pay their maid. They always give stories. They haven't paid me this month. Okay? I'll pay you when you're going for Christmas. Okay? Judas said, they're always, and maybe they know that if I don't pay her, one day she will leave. She will be like, I'm working for her. Nothing. Then they leave, and they leave you with all the money they were supposed to get. Isn't that stealing? Okay? You might pay them, but you won't pay them exactly what they should get. Do you understand? You always withhold, you always see how not to give people what they really deserve so that you can keep it to yourself. Isn't that stealing? Okay? You always, when you go out as a group, friends, you always look for a way of not what paying. Delaying tactics. The bill comes for you, continue the kawazi, when you watch, you go to, what, a short call, what, You always look for, In one way or another, and you can't tell me that those people just stop there. There's somewhere where they're hitting someone on the head, Hey, there's so many people, who are crying because of that person. Glory be to God. And if you're not careful, you continue with that kind of mentality, you can be presented with an offer and you stray away from the faith. But if you don't stray away from the faith, you're shady but still born again, your life will be destroyed. You won't be the whole person that you're supposed to be. You understand? Okay? So, all right? It says, we should always do good. We should be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. Glory be to God. Amen? Are you getting blessed? Simple things, but these simple things, I can assure you, number one, if you have, this mindset, you put these things in your life, God will be like, yes, I can trust this person with more money. They are content. When they have little, they are content. God, he's like, he takes note, and they're always ready to give. Even from the little that they have, God is like, now that one qualifies, for more. Teddy. God say, Teddy, she qualifies to marry what? A billionaire. So that she can help me to get those billions from that guy to feed the poor. Hallelujah. That is one of the reasons why
some people marry what? Rich people. Because God is like here. They will make sure that money is used what? Is used right. Glory be to God. Amen. All right. Number three. The last one. Okay, the third thing we should do in order to avoid being shipwrecked. Number three, always remember that money is not the most important thing. Glory be to God. Money is not the most important thing. Yeah, that we know, but somehow it is hard to live with that mindset. Page 123, paragraph 3, which is entitled "Money is not the most important." It says, the other safeguard required for us to stay in the middle of the road and not fall in the ditches on either side of the road to prosperity is the realization that there are many things more important than money and prosperity. Glory be to God. That is what I wanted us to read. Since we are studying the Bible, using the book, we don't have to read everything. Okay? All right? Then I think there's a page 124, paragraph 4. Yeah, paragraph 4. Okay? Paragraph 4 says, Jesus made it clear that money, okay, which he called the mammon of unrighteousness, is least. All right? Then you say that, lest you think I'm making this up, read Luke chapter 16, verse 9 to 13, which reads that, and I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. You remember, the context is money. Okay? Now he's talking about being faithful in that which is least. So he says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you the true riches? All right? I don't need to explain it to you. In the context of that, you know, the least thing is money. And he's saying, now, if you haven't been faithful with what? With the least thing, with money, how can you be entrusted with the true riches? Glory be to God. Money is the least thing. Rachel, you think about, but I mean, how are we going to pay rent for this place? Okay? Are we going to pay using the things which are most important than money? No, we're going to use money, but it is the least thing. Hallelujah. We need it, but it is the least thing. And if you can be faithful with money, the least thing, then you qualify to be given
the things which are which really matter, things which actually have no what, have no price. Money is the least thing. If you can't part with money, if you can't give, if you're not content with the least thing, then you can't be trusted with what? More serious things. You have 100,000, you're not content. Now, how can you be what? Trusted with wisdom, for example. You know, how can you be trusted with the glory of God? How can you be trusted with what? The healing anointing. Do you understand? If for some reason God gives it to you, but when you're not faithful with what? The least thing, and it somehow gives you the healing anointing, it's going to mess you up. Again, you're going to use it, okay, to rob people. You're going to be destroyed. Hallelujah. Okay. Let us read Luke 16. Now, this time only verse 10 and 11. It says, he who is faithful, this time I'm reading from NKJV. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. Okay. You find someone who is faithful with money, who is content with what they have, who can give away even the little they have, those people will be faithful in greater things. And he who is unjust in what is least, he who is unjust in money matters. Okay? Don't give those people leadership what? Positions. Don't give them greater things. They are going to be what? Unfaithful. They're going to use those things, for other things. Therefore, Jesus said, if you haven't been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, in the least thing, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Glory be to God. I've remembered an experience Kenneth Hagin had. Okay? Kenneth Hagin, one time I was preaching, there entered a gentleman in the service, a stranger. And so after the service, you know, Kenneth again gets to talk with him. It happens that gentleman was a preacher. Okay? He was coming from somewhere very far. And the money he had, and now he was traveling somewhere to preach. But the money he had was just enough, okay, to transport him from his hometown to like this place where Hagin had was ministering. Okay, it was just I think he got a bus or a train, and the money he had was just enough, you know, to get him to this place. But he still had a long distance to travel. And so, as they talked, you know, the guy told Hagin that he's going to minister somewhere now. So God led Hagin to give the guy some amount of money. How much was it? You know, I don't remember. But it's in one of his books. So anyway, he gives him this what? Money. Okay? And this minister of the Lord travels to go and minister where God what? Wanted him to go. But he used Hagin to give him the extra money he needed. Now, I think it was either years later or months later, okay, to cut a long story short, God used Kenneth Hagin to heal someone, as it was a real healing, okay? Someone, you know, God, you know, someone was healed through Hagin's prayers. A real miracle, not headaches and a stomach. No, it was a real thing. Okay? Now, when that happened, immediately, God reminded Kenneth again of the money he had given the other preacher. Okay? And God told him, if you hadn't given that money, you know, as I led you, you know, to that preacher, this miracle wouldn't have happened. So it's like, you know, it's like things are not what? Connected, but the Lord connects them. It's like you've been, basically, I guess saying, okay, you've been given this opportunity to pray for this person to get healed, okay? Because which takes the healing anointing. Because of what you did some time ago. You know, eh? This is essentially what God is saying. If you're not faithful with the least, with money, who can entrust you with the true riches, the anointing? Okay? Which also other things. Eh? Glory be to God. If you got money, 50 shillings is messing you up. How can you be trusted with wisdom, as heavenly wisdom? Glory be to God. So, we should always remember that money is not the what? The most important thing. There are things which are much more precious than money. Now, if you know that, then money can't mess you up. You just know, you can't mess me up. You know, you want me to miss the other one? Greater things. Hallelujah. Okay? Okay? One of those things, okay, is godliness. Godliness, you remember I said godliness with contentment is great gain. Eh? Okay? In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. Then in verse 11, or 1 Timothy chapter 6, after Paul has talked about the love of money, which has messed up people, okay? In verse 11, he says, but you, O man of God, flee these things. Okay? Flee the love of money. Okay? Why? Because there are things which are more precious. Eh? And those are the things which you should pursue. Okay? Which are those things? He tells him, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, patience, gentleness. Okay? I summarized all these as godliness. So he tell them, don't pursue money, eh? Okay? These are things that you should pursue. They are more important. Glory be to God. Okay? We shall end with just one other thing, which, of course, there are several, okay? But we shall just end with one thing, which is much more important than money, and that is wisdom. Wisdom. Page 126 in our book. Page 126. All right? Okay? Ideally, we should read through, 126 up to 128. But we shall not do that. Eh? Okay? But, you know, you have the books tonight. Eh? Just go and read through them. Eh? Okay? But talking about wisdom. Eh? Okay? But let's just read a few scriptures. Okay? Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13 to 15. Proverbs 3, verse 13 to 15 says, happy is a man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds, okay? Who is this? Her wisdom, eh? Okay? Her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, money, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Glory be to God. Wisdom. Okay? That's why I loved the first song that we sang. Because I knew, you know, there was something like that in the Bible study. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Okay? Man, this scripture is so wonderful. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver. Okay? What wisdom offers is better than silver, is better than money. Okay? Her gain is better than fine gold. If they put for you gold, what? Here. Gold. A bag of gold here. Okay? If Jesus came right now with gold, a sack of gold, okay, and a book he has written on wisdom. Jesus has written a book, Wisdom. Okay, there's a book called Wisdom, author Jesus Christ. And this sack of money, and then a small book like this. Let's be honest. Which one will you have? Which one will you take? Because right now, we are all honest. We shall take the book. Glory be to God. Now, apparently, what these verses are saying is that we should take the book. Because what it is going to give us is going to be far more precious than the sack of gold. All right? It says, and all things, okay, you may desire, money, and what money can buy, all things you may desire cannot compare with her. Okay, not with Teddy or with Flora or with what? With Judith. Okay? Wisdom. Glory be to God. Now, if you know that, how can money mess you up? Because you're like, you can't mess me up. You know, you're nothing compared to what I'm pursuing, wisdom. Glory be to God. Okay? Okay, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. Okay, if you're opening the Bible, you just flip to the next page. Okay, Proverbs 4, 7. What does it say? Okay, it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Wisdom is what? The principal thing. Money is not the principal thing. Prosperity is not the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. Okay? Then it says, therefore, get wisdom. Jesus appears to you with like a small book he has authored. Okay? And a sack of gold. Solomon is advising you, choose like a small book. Glory be to God. You remember, that is essentially why Solomon was made the wealthiest. You know why? Because he asked for wisdom. And God said, now I'm even going to give you for what you didn't ask. I'm going to give you riches. Okay? There won't be anyone like you. Ask for the most important thing, wisdom. Okay? From the time I got saved, 1998, one of the key things I always, wanted to have is wisdom. For some reason, Even before I got saved, I always knew that I wasn't wise. I knew I could add 1 plus 1 is equal to 2, and then get aggregate 1, get an A in physics, those things. But deep down in my heart, even when I wasn't born again, I knew, I didn't have wisdom. You can be sharp in class, but when you don't have wisdom, okay? And now when I got saved, most people think I've always been pursuing God to give me a lot of money, to what? To give away. And that's true, But they don't know the other bit, And I think what helped me was this thing of what? For me, even before I got saved, I acknowledged that I wasn't wise. And I would tell people that, some of my friends, I tell them, man, for me, I'm not wise. And people say, but how, according to them, I was wise. According to me, who knew me, So one of the things I began to seek God immediately, during that time I got saved, to this day, that is essentially why I'm reading history. You understand? I'm not reading history because I'm bored, or I'm going to be want to campaign to become an MP. But because there's a lot of wealth in history. You can see where people went wrong, and you get the wisdom how to avoid it. You can see how people's judgment, people have gone on before, and you see if they should, you understand, Those are the things which made me to pray to God for many years, praying that Father, let all the wisdom that is in Robert Sladen, let it be in me. Do you remember I shared that thing, many times? Because I just got born again, I listened to Robert Sladen. I thought it was an old man speaking. The voice, the voice, the insight. It's unfortunate that thing is no longer there. Those teachings he did, they're no longer there. But I was shocked to learn later that it was a 22-year-old speaking. I thought it was a 22-year-old speaking. And I was like, God, I began praying out, God, let all the wisdom that is in Robert Sladen, let it be in me. One of the reasons why I prayed like that was when in one of those God's general thing, there was Lester Sumrall, and he was talking about his relationship with Smith Wigglesworth, And then he talks about the last day that they met, so Wigglesworth, anyway. So Wigglesworth, got this guy to kneel down, a young Sumrall, And then he laid his hands on him, and then he began to pray. Father, let all the faith, have you listened? It's wonderful. Let all the faith that is within me be in this young man, you've listened to those things, and let all the knowledge of God, man, I think it sounds so anointed. Let and he says that as he prayed for him, tears came down with God's worthies, God, you understand, And that's the Sumrall we got to know later, So, anyway, that's also how I began to pray. I was like, Father, let all the wisdom that is in Robert Sladen. Remember, Sladen was 12 years old. One day he's in his, he's seated at home watching TV, and then Jesus walks in live. And then anyway, he tells him, I want you to study, their lives. Of my generals. Those who have gone on, And they say, I want you to study their lives and get to know them like you know the back of your hand. Learn why they failed and why they succeeded. Then today, because there is coming a generation that shall need this wisdom. Okay? That shall need these things so that they don't fail. Okay? So that they can succeed. So then, he said, study now. Someone like that, who is given such a commission, 12 years. Yeah? 12 years I was in what? P6? 12 years. No, 12 years ago, say, study. Now, 12 years you're fighting with kids, you're treating them as kids. We don't understand that those 12 years old, you know? You know, they can, yeah? You, if you're serious, you can make them become one, but you're still making them plan out, manamuto, you know, eh? When are they going to grow up? The Jewish culture, remember? At 12 years, eh? You know, you are what? That's when you are, I think, that's when you're a man. 12 years. Okay? 12 years. Now we are 12 years, we think, you know, our kids are kids. Eh? Didn't they even finish senior 6? You know, someone has finished uni, but I, man, I'm told that, man. Then someone is preaching, say, but, you know, you're a kid, you can't preach. Eh? You know, you're going to mess up. Eh? You're a kid. So a university, you know, someone becomes 40, their guys were still calling them kids. Why? Because the 60-year-olds are still alive. You know, they don't realize that those 60-year-olds who started when they were what, 19. It's ridiculous. Eh? Okay. All right. So anyway, the girl was given a commission. Now that means as Lyadon was studying and reading the stories of those guys, as a 12-year-old, you're reading a story of this guy called Bugosworth. It means there is, should I say, an angel, you know, the spirit, eh, who is ensuring that you're going to get wisdom from that story. So now, someone like that, given a commission like that, to get wisdom, eh, you know, from the lives of, you know, those who have gone on, eh, you know, ahead of us. You understand? Eh? Now, that person needs to be paid attention to. Okay? Anyone who's serious should pray that the wisdom that guy has gotten from that study should be in them. Remember, Jesus is not some guy who thinks he can write and then he writes his thing. This was an assignment, a mandate. Okay? Yeah, so I sought wisdom, all the wisdom. Okay? Then I also learned from Lyadon. Okay? Okay? Again, I gained from his wisdom. Okay, one day, okay, in one of the teachings, I don't know whether it was part of God's generals, he said that always don't follow, like if you love a man of God, a woman of God, so much, he said that don't follow them so closely. Anyway, what he meant, and he explained it, was that every human being has weaknesses. Okay, so as you're pursuing these men of God, women of God, understand that. Because if you don't understand that, okay, you not only get the good, but you will also pick up the bad. If you don't know that, if you follow them so closely, you know, you're blind. Okay, so he says always, you know, be, you know, get the good. He's just like, get the good. Get the good. Follow them, pursue what they have, but you know that you should pray to get only what? Okay? So again, I used to pray, okay, that and let all that is in Lyadon, I used to pray, let all the good that is in Lyadon, let it be in me. You know, Okay? But you know what happened, like less than 2 years ago when I met him in California, you know, the spirit of, you know, but wisdom is what? I don't know why we went there. Maybe it was supposed to bless what? Somebody. All right. So wisdom is a what? Principal thing. Okay. Now turn the page to Chapter 8 of Wisdom. Chapter 8. Verse 10.
from verse 10 and 11, it says, okay, wisdom is speaking, eh? Says that, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, eh? That is money, and all things one may desire cannot be compared with her. All right? Okay? Jump down to verse 19. Verse 19 says, my fruit is better than gold. Yes, than fine gold. And my revenue than choice silver. Glory be to God. Amen. So, as I end, let me conclude or summarize. Okay, we've been studying. Okay, the topic today was how to avoid a shipwreck. A wreck means something that has been badly damaged or destroyed. So, we are studying this to make sure that money, prosperity, okay, doesn't destroy our lives. And the worst bit of destruction is eternal damnation. Because of the love of money, the Bible says somewhat straight from the faith. Okay? So we said we can do three things. Those three things are, number one, always be content. Okay? Be satisfied with where you are while you are on the way to where you're going. Okay, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. Which things were those? In context, the things he was talking about were the different states. Either when he's in lack or he's in what? About, he says that I'm content in all these things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Number two, always be a blessing. Okay, be ready to give. Okay, because if you're a giver, okay, there's no way you'll steal. Because you're like, I'm a giver, I don't steal. I want people to have. So how can I steal from them? You know, Okay? And if you're a giver, money won't control you. And of course, if money controls you, you are more or less destroyed. You are a wreck. Number three, the last one, was we should always remember that money is not the most important thing. With those three things, we shall never be destroyed by money. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.